Thank you for tuning into this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Wellbridge, Ohio. Today's homily was given by Deacon Paul Nungester, deacon here at St. Jerome, on March 14th, 2021, the fourth Sunday of Lent. Now here is Deacon Paul.
We cannot underestimate the importance of the temple in the Jewish culture. King David had envisioned the temple, but he never had a chance to build it. And it would be his son who would bring it to reality. King Solomon completed it sometime around 957 BC. And it was the central place of worship for the Jews for centuries after that. It provided that permanent place of abode for God after years and centuries even of temporary tents wandering around the desert. The Ark of the Covenant was once placed in the sanctuary, that Holy of Holies. It was a very special place. We should remember that early Judaism was essentially a regional religion of the Jewish people and was not very widespread. Israel was pretty much it. So the temple was relatively close and somewhat easy to get to for worship, easy by ancient travel methods, which were mostly foot or a donkey. But besides its spiritual significance, it was a beautiful structure with materials from all around the region, including cedar from Lebanon, Boggle tells us, gold from Nubia, and ivory from Central Africa. Solomon spared no expense building this temple. There were carved angels and a bronze altar. It was a magnificent house for God. And Israelites made pilgrimages there regularly as other people from many faiths came to see the wonder of the temple. The Lord was pleased with Solomon for building the temple. And he said earlier in Chronicles in chapter 7, I have chosen this place for my house of sacrifice. So for about 400 years, it was the place of worship and sacrifice for the Israelites. Yet, after the death of Solomon, Israel was split and in turmoil. And because of this, sinfulness entered into the people. And the temple would be ransacked many times over the centuries, but it would endure for a while because God had compassion on his people and his dwelling place. That is, until 586 BC, when the Babylonians invaded and destroyed the temple. God had had enough with the infidelities, as it says in Chronicles, added to infidelities, abominations were practiced, and the Lord's temple was polluted. And it was because of the infidelity of all people of Judah, all the people, it says, princes, priests, people, everybody, that the temple would be destroyed. So this first reading is important for establishing the significance of the temple, but it's also there in two parts. First part, the destruction by the Babylonians, but then it skips a couple of verses that's not in there, which is about 70 years, to that decree of Cyrus, where he allowed the people of God, the Jews, to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. And that second temple was finished around 515 BC. And then King Herod would enhance it later during his reign. So it would stand for about 600 years. This is the temple of Jesus' time. And it was an important part of his life right from the beginning. It's where his parents went and presented him to the Lord. It's a temple where Mary and Joseph found Jesus after being missing for 3 days, and he was sitting with the teachers asking them questions. And last week in the gospel, we heard about Jesus clearing all the money changers from within the temple, and he spilled their coins. He cleansed the temple. And after he did that, he answered the Jews' question that they had asked him. They'd asked him for a sign. And he stood by the temple and he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up." Well, that seemed like a ridiculous thing for them. The temple had taken 46 years to build, they said. It's considered the dwelling of God, and rebuilding it in 3 days would be possible. But they missed the point. Jesus wasn't actually talking about the temple. He's talking about the temple of his body and predicting his own death and resurrection. So even near the end of his time, Jesus was tied to the temple from the beginning to the end, because it was here he first spoke publicly about raising up, talking about being lifted up. In John's gospel today, Jesus extends this teaching to Nicodemus, who came to him with questions. But he also connects it to himself and extends it to all of us here today. He says, the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus, who will be lifted up on the cross, will be the light that comes into the world. Jesus, who will lift up to his Father in heaven, will be the new temple that will supersede that current temple. He says, whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned. Jesus knew the history of the temple. He knew of its destruction. He knew about the ransackings and the rebuild. He knew it once held the Ark of the Covenant. And when he was talking about destroying the temple, he was also prophesying and predicting its destruction. In 79 AD, 40 some years after Jesus' death and resurrection, the Romans would thoroughly destroy the temple in retaliation for a Jewish revolt. Literally, not a stone would be left standing of the temple, and after that it would never be rebuilt. Today, the only section remaining is a small piece of what they call the retaining wall, which really isn't part of the temple. It's part of the wall that was around it to keep up the to support it. Today they call that the Wailing Wall, which you've probably seen on TV or in articles there. Temple walls have been torn down, temple is gone, and a new covenant is in its place. The new covenant of Jesus, the Son of Man, he says. Jesus, who has been raised up in its place by the love of God. He that came into the world not to condemn it, but that the world might be saved through him. Temple is no longer needed because it's been replaced. Our Judeo-Christian heritage has a new Ark of the Covenant, Jesus, a new temple, Jesus. He's present to us always, dwelling throughout the world in his churches, in the Eucharist, and in the tabernacles. God showed his love in Chronicles when he inspired King Cyrus to release the Jews. St. Paul, letter to the Ephesians, speaks of God rich in mercy and love. But he says, even when they, the Jews, were dead in their transgressions, they were brought to life in Christ. And John says that most famous of gospel passages in chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. So we have a new temple, Jesus. And for these 40 days of Lent, we are called to prayer, we're called to fasting and almsgiving, because we're a way of preparing ourselves for the resurrection at Easter. So Lent is now the time for us to tear down the walls of our wicked ways and lift up our hearts. It's a time to tear down the walls in our darkness and lift up our eyes to the light. It's a time to tear down the walls of our unbelief and lift up our souls to the reality of the cross and life eternal in Jesus, our new temple.
Thank you for tuning into this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Walbridge, Ohio. Be sure to tune in each week as Father unpacks the scriptures and shares real-life stories that help bring scripture to our lives. Please join us for Mass Tuesday through Friday at 8 a.m., Saturdays at 4:30 p.m., and Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. God bless.